Oh, we're ready for a special edition of We've Seen That. Again, we are We've Seen That on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You're hearing us through Blog Talk Radio or through one of the outlets like iTunes, Stitcher, etc. Thank you for joining us. I'm TJ Reeves. I'm based in Florida. He's the famous Jay. Jay Betzel, based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And what's that music I hear that's going to, for big-time movie fans in the late 80s, early 90s, that's going to give away what we're talking about this week on the special edition? What is that I hear in the background?
That music gets me so pumped every time. We've talked about this plenty of times over the years we've known each other. There's certain movies like Rocky with the Rocky theme, or Star Wars with Star Wars music when it starts. And this one, we're talking about the movie that was originally titled Daytona, but we now know as Days of Thunder.
Love me some Days of Thunder. It is a 1990 movie, and we've got a special guest that's going to be coming up. How in the world did you wrangle our special guest? Did you have to get on your hands and knees and plead and beg, or what's the story with our special guest that's joining us in a little bit?
Well, let me give you just a little bit of background. People listen, they know that I live in Fort Worth, and here in Fort Worth we have this humongous racetrack up in North Fort Worth called Texas Motor Speedway. It's a huge deal for those of us that live here in the DFW area, because when they have these two NASCAR races every year, it's essentially like bringing two Super Bowls here with the economic impact they bring and all the amount of fun. There's concerts, there's all kinds of stuff that goes with it. And there's kind of one man that's in charge of all of this, the grand poopah, the godfather, if you will. That is the Texas Motor Speedway president, Eddie Gossage. And the Texas Motor Speedway people, I work with them a lot, you know, for some of my riding duties I do here. We go out and cover the events they have. And I asked them, you know, if we could get somebody to come on in our show and talk about Days of Thunder with us for the Daytona 500 coming up. And they delivered us the man himself.
Oh, and by the way, you're going to love this. He's got tremendous insight on this movie, the making of this movie. He's even got unique memorabilia in and around this movie. So they're going to want to stay tuned a little bit later on in this show to hear from Eddie Gossage. We haven't done this officially yet. We have to be official on the show, don't we?
It's official.
Let's make it official. We've seen that for this episode is Days of Thunder.
Hold on a minute. Don't you think we ought to talk?
What, about how I'm going to run? Sure.
About how you've managed to live as long as you have.
Think you can drive?
Well, we can drive. He can drive beyond the limits of the tires, the engine, the car, anything else.
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. There's only so much I can do.
You want me to work the pit and you drive?
You running good?
Thank you.
We'll see how you do in the crowd.
He's desperate to get your attention.
You got it. I've walked into a jungle.
Come up here and do it. I'll take you to a race.
Really, I can't. I'm a doctor. I'm a cool.
Think your driving can improve?
I'll take your word for what a car can do, but I'm not taking anybody's word for what I can do.
I don't want you to hold a bad opinion of Cole. I believe it scares him. He needs reassurance from you that he's okay. After all,
how could you ignore me like that? I wasn't ignoring you.
You're his doctor.
See, a driver gets his bell rung and a couple of lights flicker, and loses what he needs more than his eyesight, more than his reflexes, more than anything in the world.
I've raced with my legs broke, heart bruised, eyes popping out of my head like they're on springs.
He loses his need. The need to drive right out there on the ragged edge.
He doesn't believe you can drive anymore.
How long before you find out if you're really good?
You just want to race again.
Well, you're really lucky.
You get back in that car, you'll die.
There you have it, Days of Thunder. It's rated PG-13. It was released June 29th, 1990. Its opening weekend, it grossed $15.4 million to take over the number one spot from Dick Tracy, which was there the week before. And it was number one for 1 week, because the following week we had Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
How about
so
this? Is
quite,
this is quite why
the event-filled 1990.
This
summer
is
we had.
The reason why I love the famous Jay, because you're banging out Dick Tracy and Die Hard coming out in the week, sandwiching Days of Thunder in the middle of it. I did not remember that or realize that. I love it. Keep going.
Yeah, good stuff. Domestically, it wasn't quite the hit that Top Gun was, because a lot of people called this Top Gun Goes to NASCAR, essentially, for many, many reasons, which we'll get to in a little while. But overall, it wasn't a total bomb. It made $82 million. It's foreign, it made $75 million, to totally gross $157 million worldwide.
Well, and the biggest thing, and we're going to talk about this with Eddie Gossage, is this is not the time where NASCAR was yet ultimately popular nationwide. It was not massively popular everywhere. This movie helped introduce that, and we'll talk with Eddie about how it became more of a national sport. Northeast, Midwest, Southwest, West, they became interested in NASCAR in large part because of the megastar that Tom Cruise is playing Cole Trickle.
Right, and Tom Cruise back then, he was at the height of the Tom Cruise mania. We'd had, Top Gun, Cocktail, Rain Man. He'd just been nominated for an Oscar for Born on the 4th of July. And then Tom Cruise as Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder. And we talk about the cast on a lot of these. We've seen that we do. And Tom Cruise has so many mega hits he's gone through. Why don't we just do this, TJ Reeves? If you have a Mount Rushmore of Tom Cruise movies, what would it be?
Obviously, we did it. We've seen that on A Few Good Men. I mean, it's hard to say what's his best performance, but Danny Caffey's got to be up there. That's got to be on the Mount Rushmore. Give me Top Gun, where he's playing Lieutenant Pete Mitchell. We'll do a future. We've seen that on that. I love his character, Ethan Hunt, in the different Mission Impossible ones, and I think there's been 16 of them or maybe 27 of them by now, but I love that. And I love his role as Cole Trickle here in Days of Thunder. This might surprise you. I think I'm going to put that on the Mount Rushmore, sir.
I can't argue with you. And for those of you out there on social media, Tom Cruise joined Instagram last week and suddenly had 800,000 followers in a matter of minutes.
We should mention at the time,
the next Mission Impossible.
Okay, but now we should mention at the time we're talking, which is January of 2018, he debuted on Instagram and had how many followers when he debuted?
Within like 2 hours, he had like 850,000 followers.
Oh, my Lord.
It was just a huge deal.
Yep.
And basically what he was doing is he was teasing the next Mission Impossible. So we are broadcasting here, there's another one coming out.
Give me your Mount Rushmore. What are the four?
I would go Joel from Risky Business, because that's what I was introduced to Tom Cruise with.
Going all the way back. All right.
Back when I had HBO and I wasn't supposed to watch R-rated movies. That's when I met Tom Cruise, essentially. Then obviously Top Gun with Maverick. I'm definitely going to go Daniel Caffey from Few Good Men. And I'm going to go one that might kind of surprise some people. His role is Frank T.J. Mackey in Magnolia, which he was nominated for an Oscar for as well. But there's so many to pick from. He could probably do an entire three or four Mount Rushmore.
He's had two careers, because he was such a megastar in the 80s and 90s. And then he had the lull in and around the whole Scientology, Katie Holmes, the whole on Oprah's couch acting all whacked and whacked with Matt Lauer on the Today Show. And then he's now made a slew of movies since then, in the mid-2000s, the 2010s, et cetera. It's kind of almost been like a second career for him a little bit there with Cruise. So just thought I would throw that in.
Oh, no, for sure. And ironically, all the ones that we just mentioned on his all-time box office, four of his top five movies around the world are the Mission Impossible movies, and War of the Worlds, the Steven Spielberg movie from 2005, is thrown in there. So, there's just Tom Cruise is a fun movie star, and there's a lot to go for. And, of course, there's one that I would love to have mentioned. I just don't have enough room. Tropic Thunder, where he played Les Grossman. Which is him dancing at the end. It's just he's a great movie star.
Different on that. All right, what else off the cast? Go ahead.
Moving on, we have Nicole Kidman. And she and Tom Cruise met on this movie and were married. And she's gone on. She won an Oscar for The Hours. Recently, she's kind of been in the news with the HBO hit Big Little Lies that won Emmys, Golden Globes, you name it. And I understand you're a pretty big Nicole Kidman fan, correct?
I'm not. No, you do understand incorrectly. I have
I was misinformed.
All right, but look, I like her in this, and maybe a couple of other things. My wife is kind of getting into that new HBO show. What is the name of it again? I saw it on the other night. She had it on the other night. Mrs. Reeves had it on the HBO series, the new thing that she's in that they just did.
Big Little Lies. Takes place in Monterey.
And this has Reese Witherspoon in it. And it has Reese Witherspoon in it, too. So, I mean, I saw it on the other night, et cetera. So my thing is, look, Nicole Kidman has won an Academy Award, been nominated a few other times. I just don't think she's an overwhelming great actress. Nothing personal here. She's married to the country star Keith Urban. but you're trying to get on me. You know, look, you weren't big on Rosie Perez, for example, as being a great actress when we did White Man Can't Jump. I'm just not big on Nicole Kidman. I can say this for Days of Thunder. She has a lot of red hair in the movie, a whole lot of red hair in the movie.
Well, hey, and she takes care of those boys. You know, that's what she does. She did her job. And the iconic scene with the Sweet and Lows and him teaching everyone in the world about what drafting is.
on her leg.
We needed her leg to
Let
be there.
Out of the
okay,
cock so. Hole. Let me out of the cock hole. Get
exactly.
me out of the cock.
Exactly. Yeah. Moving on, we have another Oscar winner in this movie, the great Robert Duvall. He won his Oscar for Tender Mercies in 83. A lot of people know him from the Godfather mm-hmm. movies, Apocalypse Now. My first remember seeing was the great Santini, where he was so mean.
Oh, yes.
He was the dad.
He was awful.
He's done just so many. I mean, we obviously can't hit them all here, but before Days of Thunder, he was coming off of Colors, mm-hmm. the movie with Sean Penn about the gangs in L.A., and then he also had just done Lonesome Dove, which we talked about last week with Tommy Lee Jones from The Fugitive. He was also in that. Just tons of big movies for Robert Duvall. He was also nominated most recently. Most recent of his six other nominations was The Judge from 2015 with Robert Downey Jr. Did you see that one?
I did see that one, and I think you and I equally love his performance, love Robert Downey. Billy Bob Thornton also very good in The Judge as well. So, he has had a very long and successful career. Love him in Gone in 60 Seconds as well. So Duvall, check. He's in the check box as Harry Hogg, the crew chief here on this one. All right, who else?
Did a great job. Then also, one of our previous We've Seen That's, we did National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One of the highlights is Cousin Eddie. Randy Quaid, this is his follow-up to that, was playing car owner Tim Dalen in Days of Thunder.
A slightly different role. instead of being the buffoon Cousin Eddie with all the problems that it means so well, he's now the car owner. He's kind of one of the integral parts of the beginning of this movie because he puts Harry Hogg and Cole Trickle, Duvall and Cruise, together as the car owner of his car team.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, he's essentially playing a variation on the real-life Rick Hendricks, you know, and his character is vital to this movie because he brings Robert Duvall and Tom Cruise together. And obviously his big talent is discovering drivers because he brought Russ Wheeler into the mix, too, who suddenly was a great driver that no one else had heard of. So very important character there. And speaking of Randy Quaid, we know in real life he's kind of gone off the deep end, but he's got some other movies we love. Dead Solid Perfect, the golf movie, which we've recently talked about many times on the show. Got Independence Day, Kingpin. He's another one. He's been in a lot of good movies, and he's a fun actor to follow. You can kind of take some of the personal stuff out of it.
All right, like that. All right, who else on this cast? One of my faves is next, right?
Michael Rooker. Are you a Michael Rooker fan?
He's tremendous in this movie for a lot of different reasons. We're going to talk about this with Eddie Gossage coming up, so I won't ruin that. But Michael Rooker, this you would say this is probably a breakout movie for him. It's probably his the first role where most of America got introduced to Michael Rooker. Fair?
Absolutely. This was like his introduction to mainstream because he had had a lot of accolades. There was a movie back in the 80s. It was called Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And he was in that. He played Henry. And that was kind of his quote-unquote breakout role. He had another few roles. Like he was in 8 Men Out. Remember, he played Chick?
Right.
The baseball movie. But this kind of...
He's one of the assistant district attorneys in JFK under Kevin
right,
Costner.
And JFK followed Days of Thunder. So this was kind of his thing where he told the world, hey, I'm here. And he's made a bunch of big movies, you know, Cliffhanger, Tombstone. Recently, he's in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But no, I agree. This was kind of... His role as Rowdy Burns was like the introduction to the movie-going world that he's here.
All right, a couple more important characters.
Cary Elwes, playing Russ Wheeler. He was people known from Princess Bride. He was also in Twister, Liar, Liar, Kiss the Girls. You a Cary Elwes fan?
Somewhat. I mean, yeah, he's definitely cocky in this as Russ, the foil to Tom Cruise later on in the movie. What was it? Robin Hood, Men of Tights. He's in that one. He was also on The X-Files. See, I was a big X-Files fan with Mrs. Reeves, the original incarnation on Fox, and he was on that for at least a season or so. So, yeah, I remember Cary Elwes from that. So, yeah.
Let's hit up Big John, which is obviously another important character in this movie. Kind of got to run NASCAR. Played by Fred Dalton Thompson.
Love
him. We know him. He's been in a ton.
He's from my alma mater, Jay Betzel. He's from my alma mater. He went to Memphis State, the former Memphis State Law School. It's on my diplomas, Memphis State. They changed the name of the late Fred Dalton Thompson in my school from Memphis State to the University of Memphis. So I love him for that reason. But we already talked about Die Hard in this one. He's in the Die Hard sequel. What else for Fred Dalton Thompson?
But kind of, he came on the scene in No Way Out, which I can guarantee you'll be a We've Seen That, with Kevin Costner and Gene Hackman, with some crazy twists in it. He was in The Hunt for Red October. He followed up Days of Thunder, as you mentioned, with Die Hard 2. He was in Cape Fear. Just a ton of movies.
In The Line of Fire, right? In The Line of Fire. Clint Eastwood, he's playing the chief of staff for the president, who's not a nice guy. And he's not a nice guy for parts of this, as Big John, the commissioner here, who has had enough of Rowdy and Cole Trickle making a mess on his racetrack, as he tells him.
Definitely. He's definitely had enough of those guys. And kind of rounding out the cast, we definitely need to mention John C. Reilly and his role as Buck Bretherton. And he would come into play later on for NASCAR fans because
he ends up being Cal Naughton Jr. in Talladega Nights. We're going to reference that with Eddie Gossage in a little bit. How about back to bookend NASCAR movies for John C. Reilly, 1990 and 2006? Very, very interesting. I remember him giving some interviews about how he didn't think in his life that he would ever be in a race car movie, much less a couple of them that were very successful. But that is the case.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of big movies he's in. You know, like he ironically was in The Hours, where Nicole Kidman won her Oscar. For Love of the Game, he played the catcher for Kevin Costner, right, throwing his perfect game at Yankee Stadium. But these are kind of the two movies that I know him from, and ironically, they're from the same thing, from the NASCAR world.
How about that? So pretty good cast on that. Are you ready to get to our special guest here? Because we've kind of set the stage for talking about the dramatic movie where again, Tom Cruise as Cole Trickle, comes on the scene here to drive a car that Randy Quaid has put together with the race team, with Robert Duvall as the crew chief. So that kind of sets the whole movie into motion about whether or not he can actually drive a NASCAR and whether or not he can actually win a race.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously people going into this know that the movie is, that, you know, like I said earlier, it was kind of jokingly called Top Car or Top Gun Goes to NASCAR. And a big reason for that was it had the same producers, Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer. It had the same director, Tony Scott, the great late Tony Scott. And I'm interested to see what Eddie Gossage has to say about all these things, because I believe through some of my research, he had worked back at Charlotte Motor Speedway before he came to Texas. So I have a feeling he's going to know a little bit more about this movie than we do.
All right, good stuff here. It is, We've Seen That. It is our episode on Days of Thunder. And enough of us, let's get to a special guest. You know, whenever we hear president of something, we got to perk up, Jay Betzel. You better be on your best behavior, because our guest that's coming on here is somebody that you know in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he's the president of the Texas Motor Speedway to help us talk Days of Thunder, Jay Betzel.
This is the most big-time guest we've had so far. We have the great Eddie Gossage. Say hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie. Boy, so your show must not have gone very far if I'm as a guest for you guys. So,
well, hey, how are things in your world? How are things out at the racetrack?
Going perfect. Just running in circles. You know, life's at the pits. No, those are trade jokes. Everything's great. We're, you know, anxious to get the season started because it's a whole new NASCAR with a lot of young guys that are coming along with tons of talent. We want to learn more and more about them and their personality, and it's but it is definitely a new day for NASCAR, and that's exciting for us all to get rolling here mid-February at Daytona.
And as we have been sharing on this podcast at the time that we're doing this, and we don't know, Eddie, when the audience is necessarily hearing this, we suspect that a lot of them will be hearing this in the ramp-up to the NASCAR season and the Daytona season. But, this is why we're reviewing Days of Thunder, the movie, and it just ties right in to NASCAR kicking off with the Daytona 500, because it's such a big part of the movie, too. They go hand in hand with NASCAR starting with such a big event.
Sounds like a theme.
Yeah.
Sounds like a theme. I like it.
Well, as far as Days of Thunder goes, how would you say that this movie kind of contributed to the popularity of the sport?
It came along, even though I'll be honest, I don't think many of us in the industry particularly care for it. It came along at just the right time with just the right cast of characters, Tom Cruise and others, and did a good job of portraying the sport, although it's excessive. I think if you watched, if you were a fighter pilot and you watched Top Gun, you'd go, no, that's not how it's done. That's not what we do. You know, Top Gun was breathtaking to me when you do a fly by the tower or whatever. And I'm sure that they, you know, who do that kind of stuff. They just throw you out of the military, out of the service. Same with Days of Thunder. There was lots of things that happened that lots of on-track action where they're beating and banging and all like that. And you just don't do that because, you know, aerodynamics is important, things of that nature. But it sure was fun. And it portrayed our sport and some of the people in our sport. You know, I know who Tom was supposed to be, and I knew him well, the guy that he was supposed to be. I knew Tom some before the movie started. I knew who Harry Hogg was supposed to be, and he did a great job with that. Randy Quaid, crazy Randy Quaid. I know who he was portraying. And so it's kind of funny. You sit there and you witness some of these things occur in real life. And here they were on the screen. So it was probably critical, to be honest with you, in the growth of NASCAR and the sport of auto racing in the early to mid-90s when we had just a tremendous growth spurt.
And on that point, it was such a Southern sport. You knew about it in the South. I'm in the South. I'm in Florida. Jay's obviously in Texas. If you were in Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, you knew about NASCAR. Didn't it broaden the audience nationally, in the West, in the Northeast, in the Midwest? They now knew more about NASCAR because the movie. Is that fair?
Oh, I think it's very fair. And, you know, if Tom Cruise blesses it, then it must be okay for me to like it in Southern California or something like that. You know, so it played a big role in ways that we probably don't even know in helping grow our sport at a time that we just really were bursting on the national scene, had been on the national scene for, I don't know, 6 or 8 years as a result of the advent of cable television and the wide distribution of cable television. You could tune in and watch the races on ESPN and other places. And all of a sudden, here was an A-lister portraying one of the most colorful characters our sport had ever seen. And it really worked well. It served our sport really well.
I have to jump in. So, in other words, the Tom Cruise line, ESPN, you'd be surprised how much you can pick up on the coverage. And then yeah. Harry Hogg, Robert Duvall, I bet I would.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is we always blew that off, that line, and said that's one of the things we don't like about Days of Thunder because that's not how it's done. You know, you got to, just like if you're, you know, a Major League Baseball player, you had to start down the bottom rung of the ladder and climb it one rung at a time. Here's, you know, Tom Cruise showing up saying, yeah, I watched it on ESPN. I can do that. We thought that was crazy. And now there's a kid named William Byron who 4 years ago or so was watching racing on TV and said, I want to do that and had never done it before. And I'm telling you, this is one of the kids I was talking about earlier, new for 2018. And he may be the best of them all. So you never know. Life may imitate art here.
Now, as far as one of the cool things I've ever done out for the Texas Motor Speedway here in Fort Worth was when Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire were turning laps out at the track. And you kind of have some running with some celebrities. I think you just mentioned you've actually met Tom Cruise before he did the movie. Talk about that a little bit.
Truth is it goes back, Paul Newman. And if you've been in motorsports, you know Paul. Paul was a very serious racer and, you know, so I knew Paul and great guy and loved to talk racing, loved to be around racing people. And in filming The Color of Money with Tom Cruise, the movie, what was that the follow-up to?
The Hustler.
The Hustler.
Yeah, it was essentially the remake of it, right?
Yes, yes. And so he was telling Tom about the kind of racing he was doing, which is road racing with some truly high-powered, fire-breathing race cars, and convinced Tom to do that. And so Tom started doing a little bit of that with his team, with Newman's team. And Paul had introduced us at a track up in Wisconsin one time. We were talking and visiting. And then, you know, a couple years later, I'm vice president of Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I've got to be honest, I walk into the men's room and this other guy standing there, and he turned around and says, Eddie. And I looked, and it was Tom Cruise. And what are you doing here? And he says, well, we're looking at filming this movie. And this was, you know, 89-ish. Yeah, early 89. And, of course, they wind up shooting a significant amount of the film at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So, and not a lot of things happened at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He met Nicole Kidman for the first time in the infield hospital at Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's the truth. And of course, they were married, I want to say Christmas Eve of 1990, something like that.
How about that for a memory? He's right on it. Yep.
Yeah. So, I know Tom. In fact, I have a big helmet collection.
Yeah.
Some of the great drivers, but this is Tom's helmet.
All right. So wait a minute. Jay Betzel, he has a Tom Cruise mellow yellow helmet from Days of Thunder. This man just went up like 15 points on the coolness meter on We've Seen That, Jay, with him with his Tom Cruise mellow yellow helmet.
So that's it. That's
How Tom. Did you get that? Did he just, they present it to you after the movie, or how'd that work?
Tom gave it to me. Like I said, I have a big collection, and it's kind of funny. Drivers through the years come in and said, "How come you don't have one of my helmets?" Next thing you know, their helmet shows up. You know, they don't want to give them away, but once they see everybody else is giving them to you, they don't want to be left out. So Stone Cold Steve Austin did the same thing. Sent me one of his leather vests to hang up on the wall because didn't have a helmet. So go figure. But anyway, Tom gave me the helmet, and it's one of the things I've got displayed here in the office.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
That is super cool.
All right. So another question that we have, we love the Michael Rooker character, Rowdy Burns, who is obviously based on Dale Earnhardt Sr. on The Intimidator, on The Guy. So now I'm going to let you play movie critic for a minute. How did that come off to you when you watched it, and when you watch it years later, knowing both personalities? How did Michael Rooker do as a Big E?
Well, let's see. He did good. I really mean that. He did a good job. The character in Talladega Nights was far more, believe it or not, true to Dale Earnhardt Sr. than was it Rowdy Burns?
Rowdy Burns, yes. Right. Rooker,
yeah,
right.
Rowdy Burns character. I thought there was a time when, and all of a sudden, drawing a blank, I can't remember the comedian's name from Talladega Nights. What's his name?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Will Ferrell is walking across a parking lot. And I could vividly remember standing there, and Dale Sr.'s walking across the parking lot to me. This is, I don't know, 81 or 2. And Will Ferrell has the walk, the look, everything. I mean, it was identical, carbon copy. and so I thought he did a great job. But regardless, I thought the Rowdy Burns character was a lot of Dale, but also a lot of other things, too. And he was a good character. I could see... be honest with you, I saw a lot of Rusty Wallace in him as well. So, just depends on who you are and your experiences. But I, had a lot of experiences with Dale Sr. and a lot of experiences with Rusty Wallace. And I thought Rowdy Burns was a great character. And, of course, Kyle Busch fell in love with him. And Kyle now puts Rowdy on his race trucks, the NASCAR Camper World Series trucks, above the door. Instead of having his name, it says Rowdy. Let me ask you this
on the I did actually cheated and did a little bit of research for this. One of the things that I saw was the time when Rowdy and Cole Trickle have to ride to dinner together to meet with Big John. Yes. They said that's based on an actual incident with Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine. Have you heard anything about that? How true is that?
Oh, it's true. It's true. And we all knew about the Dale and Bodine thing. That's a very typical Bill France Jr. thing, is to make the warring parties spend time together in a close environment where you have to address things. And so he called them to Daytona Beach, where NASCAR is headquartered, and had a meeting with them, and then said, "We're going to go to dinner and be gentlemen." And he made them get in one car together and nobody else. And I don't think the car had as much damage by the time it got just the poop he made, but I'm sure there was some damage. And I'll tell you, at that time, I don't know whether I would fear Dale Earnhardt Sr. or Jeff Bodine more. Bodine was one bad dude, and Dale certainly was a bad dude too. So it'd been nice to be a fly on the wall in that car and hear what all was being said.
No doubt, especially with these days with all the Twitter and everything, somebody probably would have been rolling on something. Another cool thing I'd seen was, you mentioned the Paul Newman, Tom Cruise friendship. one of the things said that they got to test one of Rick Hendrick's cars, and Tom Cruise did a lap of 180 miles an hour. How legit's that?
And so we want to know what Eddie. I mean, I know what Cruise will claim. I know what the producers will claim. How legit have you heard, or what do you think? Do you think he turned a NASCAR lap at 175 or 180 miles an hour and kept it together and didn't go into the wall? What do you think?
Yes, I do. I know he did it. You know, and got to remember, he had been running professionally in racing series with Newman. So he wasn't, you know, new to speed or new to how a race car handled or anything like that. And I'll be honest, I think any of us with enough guts can go run 180 mile an hour lap at Charlotte Motor Speedway or Texas Motor Speedway. But we can't do it lap after lap after lap. And we can't do it with, you know, 39 other cars out there. But for a couple laps, we could probably make it happen. Realize they're running in about 195, almost 200 miles an hour. I don't think we can get there, but 180 miles an hour, 175 miles an hour, sure.
I'm thinking of the Michael Rooker line, Rowdy Burns, now go get your own car and let's see how you do in traffic. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly what you said. Again, you're hearing Eddie Gossage with us. Eddie is the president of the Texas Motor Speedway with us for a few more moments on We've Seen That. So I think another fun one about all of this, there are so many different personalities here, whether you've got Robert Duvall playing the crew chief. You mentioned Randy Quaid going off the deep end in his own personal life, but he had it pretty together in the early 90s as the car owner, who's essentially like the Rick Hendrick character. How true are those personalities to what you've seen and to NASCAR with the portrayals that we see in this movie?
Well, the character Harry Hogg was a ripoff of Harry Hyde, a great crew chief that he's infamous and pretty much worked with every team in the sport at some point or another. Harry has since passed, but he worked for Rick Hendrick around that time, and I thought Robert Duvall was absolutely perfect. And I think even Rick said that Robert Duvall was more Harry Hogg than Harry Hyde is Harry Hyde, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought as is the case with most movies, I'm a huge Robert Duvall fan. I think he really stole the show, did a great job with it. But if you knew Harry Hyde, and all of us in the sport knew Harry, then you were really impressed with what Robert Duvall did, because he nailed him. That time that he called for a pit stop and Harry Hogg said, "Not right now, we're having some ice cream," that really happened. You know, it's those kind of silly stories. There's a million silly stories, as there are in every sport. And hard to believe that kind of thing. But I thought Robert Duvall did a great job as Harry Hogg.
Well, and I want to kind of ask, too, about Tom Cruise. I'd read that he was basically loosely based on Tim Richmond. And I think a lot of people think that he's got something to do with Dick Trickle because of the name. Do you kind of know where the Cole Trickle name might have come from, if it had anything to do with Dick Trickle? And is Tim Richmond kind of who you've heard he's based on, too?
Yes, he was based on Tim Richmond. And I'll get to Tim in just a second, who's just one of the great personalities I've ever come across in my lifetime. But the Cole Trickle name clearly is a playoff of Dick Trickle. And come on, you know, it's Dick Trickle. You know, I mean, what a great name. Steal some of that. Get
yes.
some of that on, you know. I love Dick Trickle. He's now passed away as well. But I think he just liked the name. As far as Tim is concerned, Tim is the one guy who was just different than the rest in every respect, at a time when guys were, you know, just beginning to, you know, not be seen wearing t-shirts all the time in the sport. Tim would show up at the track in a three-piece suit, carried in an attaché case. I don't know what he had inside, but, you know, it looked good. And Tim had long hair and lots of girlfriends and all like that, and just was an unbelievable talent behind the wheel. He was the only one that truly intimidated Dale Earnhardt Sr. He was, you know, Tim could hold Dale Sr. Even with his skills. Unfortunately, he passed away in 1989 with AIDS, which is just stunning. It was shocking to our little world, NASCAR, that, you know, AIDS, which was, you know, really in the '80s, if you thought about it, it was something that was outside of our cloistered little world of NASCAR, and it didn't happen in our circle of friends and all like that. So it was, like I said, Tim was different than every last person in the sport, and he had just tremendous talent. So, that's a good one to base yourself off of, because I'm going to tell you, there are certain people when you walk up to them, or they walk up to you. I can vividly remember Tim walking up to me in Michigan one time at the track there, and they just have this aura about them, this glow about them, and you go, that's a special one. And Tim, we all knew Tim was special. He was truly special. So that's a great one to base a dramatic character off of, for sure.
I have one last question here before we get to wrapping it up. Is, I saw that like Greg Sachs and Bobby Hamilton, Hutch Strickland were doing some of the driving, and they actually put him in one of the races at Darlington. How cool is that, that NASCAR kind of gave them that access, and how important was it to how legitimate the movie looked?
Well, it gave you some great racing scenes, and so and it kind of really gave Bobby Hamilton a boost to move on into NASCAR, what's now the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and get his career going. It was funny because those cars had these day-glow colors on them and just kind of stood out like Easter eggs in the field. And they also ran the Daytona 500, and they legitimately raced in the race, but they had cameras on them and around them and things like that, so that you had a real authentic feel for the racing footage and the action. So I think that helped the movie a lot.
Can I stop you there on that point? Do you think that would ever fly in NASCAR these days, where a movie maker would say, hey, can we put a couple of cars on the track during competition, during your race, and film? It was something NASCAR was willing to do to help the popularity back in 1990. Would that ever fly in the present day?
I think so, because you got to realize that Bobby Hamilton and Hutch Strickland and Greg Sachs are competent, qualified racers that were not out there just as an obstacle in the way. They were racing just like everybody else. They just had cameras on their car or in their cars. So, I think that could happen again. Wouldn't be surprised. But it was kind of funny. Those cars, because of the colors, almost were cartoonish to a degree compared to the real cars, because of the colors they were painted and the loud paint schemes and whatnot. And yet they raced and mixed it up and played a big role in Bobby Hamilton and Greg Sachs and Hutch Strickland's career. So it was pretty cool. It was a smart play on NASCAR's part. And I would hope that if the opportunity presented itself, they'd do it again. Why not? Didn't hurt anything. You had to qualify for the race. You had to be fast enough. You had to be good enough, and certainly the driver's skills and the quality of the cars were good enough. They didn't knock somebody out of the race. They legitimately earned their spot in the field.
Very cool. And obviously, that was about 5 years before Jeff Gordon kind of came on the scene, so we didn't have the Rainbow Warriors car to blend in with theirs, right?
Well, and I'll tell you, the paint schemes, I talk about them, like the Mellow Yellow car. Next year, Kyle Petty was driving a Mellow Yellow car. It was one of those deals where life imitates art. They followed up the sponsorship of the car in the movie with sponsorship of a real race car. And the paint schemes on those cars had a big impact on the paint schemes of throughout the field. And you talk about Jeff Gordon's Rainbow Warriors car, DuPont, that kind of thing. I don't know that you would have seen those colors and that brightness and whatnot had it not been for Days of Thunder kind of coming along and making that, something to shoot for. So it had an impact on real life and racing, and so everybody tries to outdo each other, obviously, with their paint schemes nowadays.
We do need to point out, Jay Betzel, that no one followed up Talladega Nights with a Wonder Bread car from Ricky Bobby or Cal Naughton's Old Spice car, Cal Naughton Jr.'s Old Spice car. Those were not followed up with after that comedy movie, but that's wild. I had not heard that story. This is why we love having Eddie Gossage here, that Kyle Petty drove the Mellow Yellow car, 91, the next year, right?
That's right.
That's wild.
That's right. Yeah. So,
and I was going to say, full disclosure, too, I was fortunate enough last year, the Texas Motor Speedway here, they repaved the track. And I got to go out and run and do some laps with the great Eddie Gossage driving. So that gives you a whole new appreciation
all right, Eddie,
for this stuff.
Eddie, you got to confess.
I just want to let people know.
Eddie, you got to confess
this. If you have a chance, do it.
For our We've Seen That audience, was Jay scared to death? Give me the intel.
We had to hose down the seat after he got out.
Jay, what was that experience like to take laps at the Texas Motor Speedway with Eddie driving?
It was a blast. You know, I was actually doing a little bit of work, so I had my phone out. I was recording a little bit, and Eddie was kind of giving me the rundown on the new changes they had made. And it's crazy when you go on the turns how you're almost looking straight down. It's just – it's unreal, and it's unlike anything you can pick up on TV. And
Eddie, how fast were you going?
It's one thing to watch it on TV, but you need to go and experience it in person. It's
amazing. How fast were you going on these laps?
What did you say Cruz was doing at Charlotte? 180?
170, 180.
170, 180. Yeah, I think we went like 185.
There you go.
Right, Jay?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, unless the insurance people were listening, then we went like 100 exactly.
That was
55 for insurance.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's tremendous. Now, Eddie, I know you've got, at the time again that we are taping this podcast for our We've Seen That audience, the Daytona 500 is upcoming. You may be hearing it at a later date, at a later time, but you're doing something special at the Texas Motor Speedway because NASCAR, again, kicks off its season essentially with its Super Bowl, its biggest race. So for the audience that may be listening in your area or maybe trying to do something different in the region, you've got something special for the Daytona 500 coming up.
Yes, we do. And, you know, people, you ask them, who has the biggest TV in the world? And they say, well, the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I got news for you. The Cowboys TV screen isn't even the biggest one in town. We've got the biggest TV in the world. It's about almost exactly twice as large as the screen at Cowboys Stadium.
Wow.
And so if you got the world's biggest TV screen, according to the folks at Guinness, you might as well use it. So the weekend of the Daytona 500, we're opening our infield for free. You can camp in there all weekend, or you can tailgate on Saturday or Sunday and or Sunday and watch the Daytona 500 and, of course, the Xfinity race on Saturday the day before, all free. Just get out here, camp, just like it's a race weekend, and take in the race on Big Hoss, the world's biggest TV. It's a great way to kick off the season, be around people that are like-minded, that love racing, that love the life and want to have a good time. We want to have just a big party all weekend long in our infield. And so all you got to do is call the Speedway and reserve your spot. Come on out, and it doesn't cost you one penny. Just come out and have fun.
When you mentioned this at the beginning of the season, we have the two races here in Fort Worth for the Monster Energy Cup Series. Tell me a little bit about those and how people can get tickets.
Well, the first one is the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, and it's Sunday, April 8th. And, of course, there's an Xfinity race the day before. And then in November, we've got a NASCAR triple header with the trucks on Friday night, the Xfinity cars on Saturday, and then Sunday, the big AAA Texas 500. And that's Sunday, November 4th. All you got to do is go to our ticket office, call our ticket office, 817-215-8500. Go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com, or you can call Ticketmaster 24 hours a day, and they'll help you out. So, you know, there's always a way to get tickets. And, you know, we draw about as big a crowd as you're going to see in NASCAR. So you got to come out and see what all this is about. It's craziness. It really is. I've been doing this a long time, and I still, the hair stands up on the back of my neck when those cars come off of turn four and take that green flag.
I love it.
Well, one last thing on there. Tell me about this new bar y'all have.
The Restart Bar Zone Club is basically a club seating that we're building. Going to start in one particular area right above the Restart Zone. And it gives fans an option. We hear all the time, you know, I'd like to go inside a little bit because it's noisy. Or people that are inside the suites, well, I want to go outside where I can hear it, see it, smell it, taste it, all those great things. And so the Restart Bar Zone Club allows you to be outside or to go indoors. It's on about Road 26. It's got an outdoor bar, tabletops, where you can sit and watch the race. You can play, you know, cornhole, things like that. Or you can go inside and where it's a little bit quieter, have conversation, discuss things with folks, and you don't lose any of the racing because it's there on the monitors around the room, that kind of thing, and take it all in. So we're going to start marketing those shortly. So go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com to learn more about the Restart Bar Zone Club. I think people are going to love it. And the what's been interesting to me, it's got a lot more attention on the on social media than I expected. So people clearly are interested in this, so we're going to have some fun with it.
when there's so many things that you guys do in Fort Worth that a lot of the other racetracks copy. So y'all are just such the innovators, and y'all put on such a good show. And we really love having you come on with us.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, yeah, we like to be first. And some people do kind of knock off what we do, but that's okay.
We can say politically correct. They're inspired by what y'all do.
I just suggest their staff come to work like we do. Hey, we're all in this together. Anything we can do to make the sport of auto racing bigger and better, it's good for all of us. And we can't wait for the season to get underway at Daytona, and can't wait for it to get here in April.
So we have whetted the appetite with Days of Thunder. And Eddie Gossage, you've done a great job breaking down the movie. We didn't ask you at the beginning of it, did you see this in the theater when it came out? Yes. And do you still watch years later, now almost 30 years later? That's incredible. Do you still watch when it comes on TV every once in a while? Because we obviously watch, and a lot of the fans that are listening obviously watch.
Well, there was a premiere in Charlotte, and for the, you know, the sport is basically based there because most of the teams and things like that. So there was a premiere in Charlotte, and that's where I saw it for the first time. And I've seen it on TV several times since. I'm more of a Talladega Nights guy.
There we go.
I think Talladega Nights actually is more accurate portrayal of the sport. Obviously, you know, tremendous comedic bent to it. But Days of Thunder probably took itself a little bit too seriously. Days of Thunder was mightily important to us, our sport, and Tom Cruise being an A-list actor, that was a validation for auto racing and NASCAR that we were lacking, and he gave it to us, and we took off from there. So it was a seminal moment in our time. I'm glad. Didn't it win Best Picture of 1990?
I think Dances with Wolves was up for Best Picture, but I think Days of Thunder actually did win because of the great director, Tony Scott.
And right, Tony Scott, and then and Jerry Bruckheimer was involved in that. And
Don Simpson was in it, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, he was. Had a very small part that he put
incredible
in there. And that movie was it went way over budget. I remember that. Just and they were still filming just a couple weeks, it seemed, before the premiere. So it they worked and worked and worked to get it where they wanted it. So it was fun to watch. It was a fun night at that premiere.
Well, I'll say this: we've been doing this show for a little while now, and Talladega Nights is definitely on our list of movies to do. So we appreciate having you on, and maybe we'll get lucky and get to have you on again when we do that one.
Well, call me back, because you know, if you ain't first, you're last.
There you go. Eddie Gossage, thank you, buddy.
Rubbing is racing. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. How much fun was that, TJ? You enjoy talking NASCAR and Days of Thunder with Eddie Gossage. One thing I was wanting to get to before we had him on was, one thing about this movie is there's so many fun individual scenes. Do you have like any favorite parts, or one maybe favorite part stands out to you?
I'm glad that you asked me that, and we didn't go over it with Eddie, but at the beginning of this movie, and I'll tell you how it still resonates, I love the montage where essentially Trickle is trying to learn how to drive, where Harry Hogg is trying to teach him. Growing pains are going on, and he's having all kinds of problems. And the Spencer Davis song, the Spencer Davis group, Gimme Some Lovin', is playing the entire time. And any time since then, this movie is now almost 30 years old at the time we're making this, we've seen that I hear that song, classic rock radio, and it's now considered classic rock. Any time that I hear that, I think of the montage of Cruise having all the problems driving the car. So I know a lot of people will default, you know, to a love scene with he and Kidman, or to the climactic scene at Daytona. But Gimme Some Lovin', babe. Gimme Some Lovin' with Tom Cruise wrecking the car at the beginning of the movie. That's my favorite.
There's a lot for me, but if I had to pick one, which I'm kind of, I guess since we made the rules on this, I'll pick one. It would be the scene when Big John tells them that that he's tired of them basically banging against each other in the racetrack, and not only are they going to make up and then go to dinner together, but they're going to ride together. And obviously the two of these guys are like, you know, there's no chance in hell this is happening. So they pull up, and Rowdy basically says to Cole, you know, I think I agree that I'm not letting you drive, and you agree that you're not letting me drive. So here's an idea, and he points at the Patriot rental car place. And I don't know, back in 1990, if rental cars weren't on every corner like the Enterprises are that are in Fort Worth and Dallas, but they made out like, ooh, rental car. And they just destroyed those. You know, to borrow a line from one of your favorite movies, Tango and Cash, they foobarred those cars.
Yeah, I believe.
By the time
they
pulled up to the dinner, and these two cars are just destroyed, and they're both just smoke is coming out of them. The tires look like they're about to go off in all directions. And that was my favorite part, because it just looked like two guys that were just, you know, kind of letting loose. And obviously the two of them had been fierce rivals, and they kind of bonded over that part.
And just like we talked about with Eddie Gossage a few moments ago, that this is mirrored after. It may not be identically after, but it's mirrored after the rivalry that Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine had, and Bill France Sr., the former head of NASCAR and the former Big John in real life, actually sat them down and made them come to dinner. Although, as we were saying with Eddie, we don't know if they actually, they did have to drive together, but we don't know if they actually got in separate cars at one point and started to crash it out on the way to dinner. That's Hollywood for you. And I know Eddie was down on some parts of the movie, saying, you know, to Hollywood would never happen in NASCAR. But you gotta have some of that to bring in the non-sports fan or the fan of the actors and have something memorable. And obviously that scene sticks with you, where they're driving on the beaches of Daytona in the rental cars, smashing into each other, then back on the road, smashing into each other just to arrive at dinner.
Yeah, something tells me a few of those things wouldn't have flown in the real world. And, you know, we talk about the NASCAR world with Russ Wheeler, when he says if he sees Cole out in Daytona, he's going to put him in the wall. You know, these days you probably would get fined for that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not quite.
But can I tell you,
can I tell you,
back in the day, 70s, 80s, and I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but I know enough about it, they were very big on policing themselves in this sport. And they would a lot of times seek retribution, payback, whatever you want to call it, and the sport would police itself. And so I understand some of that. It's the way that it used to be, but you're right. Now that we're in the 2010s and 2018 at the time we're taping this, you can't just talk about, from a safety standpoint, I'm going to go wreck somebody. I'm going to put them in the wall and maybe kill them. It's not the same way, but this was again a different time for sure. So you love that scene above all else. The one where they're I love the valet standing and looking like, what are we supposed to do with destroyed smoking cars? Are we supposed to park these, call a tow truck? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, that was pretty great. They kind of looked around. It's similar to Chris Rock when they pulled up in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Very nice.
A cement truck?
Wait. What is our line? I get $10 for cars. I get $20 for limos. What the F is this, right?
Here's $50. It's my truck. Park it next to a limo.
There you go. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So those are our favorite scenes. Now, do we want to quiz each other a little bit? We did quiz each other a little bit with Eddie Gossage there, and he says he believes Tom Cruise turned the lap at 175 miles an hour plus. We buying that, by the way?
You know, if Eddie says it, I take it as the gospel. And, you know, one thing we do on most of our episodes, kind of when we're getting towards the end, which we are, is we just throw out some fun facts and some trivia. And the fact that Eddie had pretty much all of the trivia and fun facts that right. I had done in my research, I did find this one article from the New York Times, and it was from a few years back on the 20th anniversary of this, where New York Times talked to some of the people involved in the movie, one of them being Rick Hendricks. Mm-hmm. And one of the quotes he has here is, he says, "So many of the things really did happen. They took bits and pieces. They took the characters. They took how I got started when Randy Quaid went to talk to Harry about getting back into racing. The car he was driving was my white Caprice Classic. But it didn't really happen that way. Harry actually was after me. And some of the stuff just was changed for Hollywood." Then he also says that when Trickle tells Harry, if you help me build this car, we're going to win Daytona, when he goes back to his barn that time, in reality, it was Harry telling Hendrick, "Let me build a car and I will win you a race."
Interesting. I like that.
So we have that. So that's kind of fun. We also have Robert Towne. You know, we talked about all the Oscar winning actors that are in it. We also had the Oscar winning screenwriter, Robert Towne. And his quote in this New York Times story was how much fun he had making this movie. He said, "The drivers were more fun than any group of people I'd ever met before. The thing about it is that they're the greatest storytellers in the world. I think arguably as good a time as I've ever had on a movie. It was just endless fun." And it mentions that he spent time with Harry Hyde, who was the, you know, emphasis for Harry Hogg, the character. And he also picked the brains of Richard Petty, Darryl Waltrip, Rusty Wallace, Jeff Bodine, and had one very memorable afternoon with Dale Earnhardt. And then follow up on that, Dale Earnhardt Jr. spoke about when Robert Towne came and Tom Cruise came to visit Dale Earnhardt in the shop. And Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s quote is, "This kind of makes you feel old, doesn't it? It was a thrill for me and my sister to meet Tom Cruise, and we anticipated that movie coming out, and it was really interesting to see our sport put into the mainstream and be a part of it.
There you
go. I think it did a lot for our sport, to be honest with you. Even though the critics weren't really sold on the movie, and a lot of people had different opinions about it, it got our sport a lot of exposure, It was fun to watch regardless of whether it was any good or not. So there you go.
I like that. Well, and then again, Eddie gave us great insight because I did not remember this. And again, I've kept up with NASCAR a bunch. I'm by no means an expert. But, Jay, I live in Florida, and you almost by attrition are a NASCAR fan just because Daytona is the mecca of NASCAR, if not racing. But I did not realize and remember that Kyle Petty actually drove a mellow yellow car the year after the movie, like Eddie was telling us. That's great trivia.
I didn't either.
I love that.
I didn't either. That was some good stuff that he gave us there.
And a couple of more nuggets as the movie went along. I mean, Eddie was kind of down on Michael Rooker as the Dale Earnhardt kind of clone or lookalike. But in the movie, Earnhardt is driving around in the Wrangler car in and around that time. The Wrangler-sponsored car was a different color scheme. But after the movie, he went to the Intimidator car, the black and the white paint. And Earnhardt's fire suit, his race suit essentially, was the white with the black trim, just like Michael Rooker as Rowdy Burns in the movie. So that's some more great trivia that it's almost like a prequel to look at Michael Rooker walking around in that outfit that Dale Earnhardt would later walk around in for the next 10 years or so before his untimely death at Daytona in a crash. He would constantly walk around in the white NASCAR fire suit, jumpsuit outfit with the black trim, just like Rowdy Burns. So I love that for the trivia.
Well, you know, there's so many things we can talk about this movie, and both of us, obviously, we always rewatch these movies right before we talk about them, and I still enjoy this movie today. I know that there's people that kind of bang on it, and obviously, I guess if you're in that NASCAR world, you can probably pick it apart the same way you and I could with Tin Cup or something, you know, or Dead Solid Perfect or any golf movie for that matter, but I'm glad we watched this again. I enjoyed doing it. Let's wrap up with just a couple of things. We always do this at the very end of the movie. Some of the critics, what they said when the movie came out.
Yeah, who was smart about this? Because it really turned out to be a good movie, and it has stood the test of time. So who was smart and who was not on board? Go ahead.
There's one review that stands out, and you know, Siskel and Ebert were kind of the people that started doing this, and Roger Ebert's one that we go to a lot. He gave the movie 3 stars, but the beauty of it is, this is kind of, bear with me here, because this is a funny part of what he said. So Days of Thunder is an entertaining example of what we might as well just go ahead and call the Tom Cruise picture, since it assembles the same elements that worked in Top Gun, The Color of Money, and Cocktail, and runs them through that formula. Parts of the plot are beginning to wear out their welcome, but the key ingredients are still effective. They include the Cruise character, invariably a young and naive, naturally talented kid who could be the best if he could just tame his spirit. Number 2, the mentor, an older man who's already done it and is there to help him out. Number 3, the superior woman, who's usually older, usually taller, and more mature than Cruz's character, and will function as a mentor for his spirit.
And in this case, has a lot of red hair. Nicole Kidman, we're talking about. Keep going, yes.
Exactly. The arena in which the young man is tested. The trail, a journey to visit the principal places where the master's craft tests one another. The eventual enemy, a real bad guy who turns up in the closing reels to provide him with a test of his skill, ability, his love, his craft, and his knowledge of the arena. that's basically the edited version of Roger Ebert saying this is the Tom Cruise formula. Then we also have the Washington Post, Hal Hinson, and this is actually kind of just a funny thing. He says, if Top Gun was a stylish bimbo of a movie, all cleavage, white teeth, and aerodynamic flash, then Days of Thunder is its paradoxical twin, a bimbo with brains. It's muscular, loud, and ravishingly handsome. The movie is solidly in the same family as its predecessor, with the reunion of the producers, the director, and their star. And there are enough similarities in the two films in plot, character, and style that this new movie could actually almost qualify as a sequel. So, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of catch the drift. The people that, when you go to see it, if you know what you're getting into, you're going to enjoy it. And that's my kind of closing thoughts on old Days of Thunder there.
Well, and they're right, because it does mirror Top Gun in a lot of ways, because he's the brash, almost larger than life, like what Charlie Kelly McGillis tells him, you were larger than life when I met you. It's kind of the same thing when he becomes the NASCAR driver, and the same thing. He goes through a horrific episode in Top Gun that kills his partner and his best friend. In this case, it's another horrific crash episode that could have killed him, could have killed Rowdy Burns, and he has to overcome that. So the movies do mirror. They are kind of comeback stories at the end that have the happy ending, and of course he gets the girl in both cases. So you got to love the symmetry, I guess, from that. The movie, though, works I'm a big sports movie fan. We know that from the initial few we've seen that we've done a lot of different sports movies. I cannot emphasize enough, though, that NASCAR's massive popularity, it can't all be traced back to Days of Thunder, like we were talking about with Eddie Gossage, but part of the birth of it was this movie doing so well nationally, got people in California, in Michigan, in Iowa, in Washington State. I mean, they have races now, Jay, in Dover, Delaware. They race in Sonoma, California. They race in Phoenix and Kansas City and Las Des Moines, Vegas. Iowa. They race in Vegas. They race there where you are in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. They race almost everywhere on NASCAR all over the country. The groundwork was laid by 1990 Tom Cruise, Robert Duvall, Nicole Kidman, Days of Thunder, sir.
Well, and I have one more quote that I actually meant to tell you way earlier, and it's just I've been all over the place because I love this movie so much and talking about it, was Quentin Tarantino. We know him, the director of Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, The Hateful Eight, many more. He loves Days of Thunder. You know, he's a huge fan of Tony Scott, their mm-hmm. buddies from True Romance. And his quote on this was, it is his favorite big budget racing movie, because that, you know, that narrows it down. But he says, yeah, you laugh, but seriously, I'm a big fan. To me, Days of Thunder is the movie Grand Prix and Le Mans should have been. Sure, it had a big budget, big stars, and a big director in Tony Scott, but it had the fun in those early movies. I just don't think it works if you take the whole thing seriously, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah,
there's some love.
It had lots of different elements in it that would make it work. It had the action. It had the love story in this. It has the hero ending. So, again, I think it works for a lot of different reasons. Any other things? I know Eddie Gossage, again, we cannot promote enough through the Texas Motor Speedway. Again, at the time that we taped this, the Daytona 500 is coming up in early 2018. They're going to be showing the race at that speedway. And again, Jay, they've got two races coming at the Texas Motor Speedway, as they do every NASCAR season, the Monster Energy Series season. A plug away again on those NASCAR races and when they are in Texas on behalf of
Right. Yeah, they have stuff, you know, all the time. But the two big weekends they have is the NASCAR race that's in April, and then they have another one that's one of the playoff races that is in, I believe they call it the Race for the Cup or the Chase
Correct.
For the Cup. It is in November. And it's ironic. Usually that's the only Cowboy game of the year I miss because it's on Sunday afternoons. Usually a lot of times the Cowboys are at home that day. So that's when that one is. And it's kind of right before it gets cold here. So it's perfect timing. One last question I had for you. We've talked about this on many of our other episodes is, did you see this movie in the theater?
Yes, sir. I did see it in the theater, and I do remember that, and I remember people stood and applauded at the end of the movie. I remember that vividly. I remember I kept trying to figure out because I didn't know anything about it. I remember, you know, we're in a different time here where there was no internet, so you couldn't look people up, didn't know things in advance. You had maybe heard something about the movie. I didn't know who Nicole Kidman was, and I wanted to know more about her after the movie. You knew who Cruise was. You didn't know who she was. So I just remember being in the theater. You know, I'm going to give away my age. I'm college age, around 20, going, who is this redheaded Australian actress? Because we didn't really know about her. But I do remember that, watching it in the theater. And not only have I seen it a bunch ever since, I'll let the audience in on this. When Jay was telling me we're going to do this movie, Days of Thunder, as we've seen that, I have the DVD. I popped the DVD into the Blu-ray to make sure, famous Jay, that I was up to speed on Days of Thunder, sir.
When for those that are listening, if they want to zoom back into 2018, if you want to watch it at the time we're doing this, it's available on Amazon Prime for free, and it's also on Stars on Demand. And I did want to mention the reason I brought the theater up was I remember going to see this with a couple of my friends, and one of them lived in Arlington. So we went to this theater that's long been torn down. It was in the Lincoln Square Shopping Center, which is right across the Collins Street from the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, of course, there was no AT&T Stadium there. And this movie theater, the reason you would go is it had a huge screen, and it had like one of those auditoriums in the like very back of the theater that had, I want to say it had 800 seats, and we saw it, and it was packed, and people were cheering like we were at the actual race.
Wow.
You know, they were getting up and clapping like you mentioned. And the fun part of it was that the sound, it was one of those, like, I don't know if it was necessarily a THX room, but it was one of those where you could feel it when the cars were going by. And ironically, this movie was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Sound. It didn't win, but it was nominated. And that's one of the things I remember about going and seeing this at the movie was it made me want to go to a race. And I told my parents when I got home, I was like, man, I wish that we could go to a race sometime.
And now,
shortly thereafter, they had the groundbreaking. I want to believe it was in 96. And the first race we had here was in 97. So within a decade, we had a full-fledged, huge speedway, you know, 30 minutes from my house.
Love it. And so, again, we love this movie. That's the reason why we're reviewing this and going over it. We also love, we can't say thank you enough, check out the Texas Motor Speedway and all the events they're having. We love having Eddie Gossage on here. Jay, thanks to you for being able to line that up. And they again are going to have not only the viewing party for the Daytona 500, they've got their April race and their November race. Check them out. Go get tickets. I have been to that track and to this race. You have been to that track and to this race. If you're a race fan, make it a point to at least get there and see it. Maybe you could turn a lap like Jay Betzel did, do a practice lap out on the track. I don't know if you get to do it with Eddie Gossage like you did, but it's a lot of fun to get to go check out these different speedways all over the country. And again, this movie in a small way helped launch all of that nationwide in different markets where NASCAR wasn't. So it does trace back to Cruz and Days of Thunder, Jay.
Well, and how many people do you think, not knowing the time and everything, that think that Tom Cruise's character might have been based on Jeff Gordon because of their physical similarities, right? And both of them being so brash.
Well, and remember, they would have had, and this is a good point you make, but it's also a fascinating point, they would have had no idea about Jeff Gordon in 1990. It's not patterned after him.
I believe we talked about that with Eddie, how he came out, a few years later, he came upon the scene. And, it was a perfect symmetry for where NASCAR was at the time. It kind of helped them move to the next level.
Yeah, great point. Great point on all of this. All right, again, follow this show, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, at We've Seen That. Follow him on Twitter, at The Famous Jay, as well, as we promote all of this.
Let me borrow from your radio broadcasting stuff, and let's do a little tease.
Please,
we're going to stick with sports. For our next movie, the sports theme is going to be there because we have the Winter Olympics coming up. You want to let everybody know what our next movie is?
I think we've decided. We kicked around a couple different ideas. Great Winter Olympic story is obviously the 1980 U.S. hockey team, and Kurt Russell playing the coach of that team, Herb Brooks, is fantastic. You want to talk a little miracle? You talk about sports movies that are based on true stories that actually happened. It's a great portrayal. You want to kick around a little miracle on We've Seen That?
I'm in the mood to stand up and cheer, so absolutely, Miracle is our next movie.
I like that. Way to get the plug in on that. Did we get everything in here? Again, We've Seen That on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, on Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Share it out. By the way, Jay, we want to remind the audience to rank the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, and the reasons why. Go ahead.
Definitely. Please give us a rating on iTunes, and definitely please give us a review because it kind of just helps us move up and, we appreciate everyone that's listening. We hear from y'all on social media, and anytime you guys want to chime in, by all means, we respond to everyone. And thank you very much for that, by the way. But the iTunes and ratings and reviews help us move up so that other people that don't know we're here can discover the show.
And we can't thank the Blog Talk Radio people enough for helping us promote it as well. So however you found the show, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, help us spread the word, including on social media. And look, you can also tell us how bad our analysis is or why in the world did you guys do Days of Thunder and waste an hour of my life, those kind of things. It's all good with the back and forth on social media. We'll even take suggestions on future editions of We've Seen That as well. So they can keep them coming, right, Jay? Keep the social media contact and interaction coming. We love the feedback. Even if it's not exactly we love you and you guys are the best, send it on.
By all means. I know that we've had both begin, but they're never like mean. They're usually just like, I did not like that movie. I'd rather to hear you talk about XYZ. And so that's why we take that feedback and we put it on our list and they will be heard.
So again, We've Seen That, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Also find him at The Famous Jay, and I think we're good. Did you have fun, Patna, talking a little NASCAR?
Absolutely. Good times. And Daytona, as we're doing this, is a couple weeks away at the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
They always kick off their season with the biggest race. And of course, at the end, what does Cole Trickle win? He wins Daytona, like he promised at the beginning of the movie. So there you go.
Daytona.
On Days of Thunder. For The Famous Jay, I'm TJ Reeves. Again,
thanks, everybody.
We've Seen That. We'll see you soon. Bye.